All systems are a go.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your seats. Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina State Representative Jeff McNeely is about to begin. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, Iredell County. Hope everybody's doing well out there this morning. It's a little brisk, but it turned out to be a real nice day. It looks like you can get out and get some work done. As my grandfather would always say, time to go. Hey, we got a good show today. Got Addison McDowell going to call in the second part of the show. Some of y'all may know him, some of you may not. To me, he's a newly elected congressman from over Davison County. Be good to have him on there. He's going to talk to us. That could have been a potential runoff in the 6th District, but it wasn't. So he'll be coming in on the second part of the show. Right off the get-go, would like to say congratulations to my Wolf Pack, Go Pack, going to Dallas to play Marquette at 7 p.m. I think it's on Friday. So looking forward to that. Also, congratulations to UNC, Duke, and Clemson. We got 4 out of the 16 teams there, and if I do my math right, that's 25%, which is pretty good considering we didn't get but 5 bids total. So maybe ACC conference not dead in basketball yet, as the national pundits would have us. So anyway, well, let's jump right into it. Anybody wants to call in, 844-788-3464, 844-788-3464. I know the number's a little different, but hey, we're working with it. So good news, our congressional leaders, led by Richard Hudson and Tom Tillis, and also Ted Budd, have been doing some investigating into that youth immigrant center, we'll call it. I think the official name they go by is FICF. Influx Care Facility over in Greensboro. And y'all may remember this. I talked about this probably a couple months ago now, how there was a Jewish school, I think K-12, that be a private school that was built, a campus, and that didn't work out. And so somehow or another, it went into receivership. And next thing you know, our federal government has wrote up a contract with a company, and now the company's changed names again. So it gets really confusing, but it was a 5-year, nearly $50 million contract with an effective start date of June 2022. Yet only thing really we've seen there is security personnel, and that contract's getting to be about 2 years old now. Real weird. Also, the Greensboro mayor announced on Twitter, or X as we'll call it, that the make sure I got my acronyms right, ICF, was open and operational, and that was on March the 15th. She put that out. So a lot of weird things going on. This is for, once again, unaccompanied, illegal immigrant minors coming across our border being housed here. Don't know if any of them are yet, but we're already paying for it. And, you know, the real estate records show that $26 million loan document for the AHA campus, that's one of the names, was assigned by Faxum Limited to Metabroad International Group, LLC, and Hi-E Holdings, LP. All three companies appear to have some connection to China, with the Paxson's CFO, Ping Wang, executing his side of the loan document at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing, China. Tillis and Budd have also recently introduced a pair of bills intending to crack down on sanctuary cities and incentivize deportation of illegal criminal aliens in our country. So here we've got a facility in North Carolina that is going to be used, it appears, and ready to go, whether any of them show up yet or not, and already being paid for to house unaccompanied illegal immigrant minors that are crossing the border. This is very complicated, if you ask me. So, and very troublesome. We wonder where our money goes, and everybody always talks about this. We have not found any state funding whatsoever on this at all. Like I said, if anybody wants to call and talk about this or anything else, 844-788-3464. Love to hear from you. Here we have a Tillis going, and a quote that I've got is, for For too long, we have watched local jurisdictions in North Carolina and across the country ignore the lawful notification and detainer requests made by ICE agents, which is your immigration, instead of releasing dangerous criminals back into the community and putting innocent lives at risk, Tillis said in a statement. It is clear President Biden and liberal politicians want to prioritize reckless sanctuary policies over public safety. It is time for Congress to step in and put an end to this madness by holding sanctuary cities accountable and empowering ICE to gain custody of criminal illegal immigrants so that they can't cause any more harm or violence. Ted Budd also put into this, this is a matter of public safety and rule of law, Budd said. At the time when the Biden administration refuses to crack down on sanctuary cities, Congress has the responsibility to act. It's long past time that cities who refuse to enforce our immigration laws face legal consequences. When laws are not enforced completely, preventable tragedies occur. This has to stop. So Budd and Tillis are heading up this effort to that will put lawless cities on notice and will incentivize them to enforce our laws and keep our streets safe. Take a sip of water, folks. Long reading. So this has been going on for a while, since 22. It continues to go on. We continue to pay money. Even if you're on the side that you want these children looked after when they cross the border unaccompanied, which that kind of concerns me on multiple areas, you're not getting that either. Neither side's winning here. All I see is we're spending money on a facility. Nobody's at it, but yet somebody could come, which means it's a sanctuary part of a city of Greensboro. So, which we totally said in the state house and also now pushing forward in the federal houses, Senate and House both of representatives. This is something we don't want. We don't want this in North Carolina. We don't want this in the United States. We're contracting facilities for a problem that should never happen if we stop them from crossing our border. And once again, it goes back to the old adage of hitting yourself in the head with a hammer and taking aspirin for the headache. Do you find a better deal on aspirin, or do you quit hitting yourself in the head with a hammer? It looks like we have a hard time saying, don't hit me in the head with a hammer. We continue to do it constantly as a government, as a nation. This really concerns me, folks. So we're getting ready to go to our quarter break on the hour, but so much is going on here. This is so close to home. This is right here at Addison, Greensboro. And you look like you have one side, the city over there, wanting this, playing this, doing everything they can, announcing the opening of it, you know, and then it's ready to go. All the hurdles have been jumped, and here we are. And next thing you know, like I said, we're seeing money. We're seeing all these things. Nobody has notified the state of North Carolina in any way, shape, or form. Obviously, they've notified the city of Greensboro, but they have yet to notify anybody on our side. We have to find these things out through back doors. That's not the way it should be. There should be transparency. There should be the ability to know what's happening in your state, especially if you're in your congressional seats as far as our congressmen and our Senate. So this is a real problem, I think. To me, it looks like a total cover-up. And I have a real problem with that. And they wrote a letter to the Department of Health and Human Services asking Secretary Becerra to give more information. And they have basically been stonewalled. So we'll keep watching this situation. Hang on, folks. We're going to break right now. We'll be right back. Got more to talk about. Got Addison McDowell.
There's more Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely on the way from 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now, more Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
All right, back here for the kind of what I call the middle part, the meat of the show here till we get to our guest. And I think we got a caller on the line, so Joe, let's bring him in. Hey, this is Representative Jeff McNeely. Who we got?
Jesse, how you doing, Jesse?
I'm good, Jesse. What you up to? I got something to talk to you about, but go ahead. What you got?
Well, thanks. It's about time. But no, it's man, there's so much to talk about. There just ain't enough minutes in the day, I guess, or on this show especially.
What?
But the he's talking about the taking over North Carolina like this. And a lot of people have been, you know, just for one thing, they're calling this like a 16-year plan that some Democrats had together or whatever. But I've been paying attention to this my whole life because I've been in manufacturing my whole life, and I've seen this country gutted out, okay, during my lifetime. And I've seen it's been done strategically, okay? This stuff has been going on since the beginning of time, Jeff, basically. But here, you take the Outer Banks. I remember when it flourished with fishermen, a lot of, you know, people come from all over the United States to come to the Outer Banks to go fishing. And they purposely put an end to that. And you can see over time how it's like they've widened the road. There's something going on there that I can't quite put my finger on, I'll admit, that it's like all this stuff has been planned out for decades. And now that it's all coming together, I'm starting to see what's going on here. And it's like they are switching what used to come in on the West Coast. It looks like it's getting ready to start happening here. And with all of them buying up the eastern half of the North Carolina's farmlands, basically. And it ain't just China. I thought our Constitution is supposed to keep foreign affairs out of our country like this. That was the federalist job. And what can we do? I mean, we need to be having the federal indictments, having hearings, and secret, what do you call that? Secret indictments.
I'm not sure on that.
People need to hear what's going on here to see if we don't need to be bringing indictments out on some people that has ignored their duties. Because I've seen a lot of it. I can put my finger on a lot of it. And it's just like people, I don't know, they just don't know what the Constitution is. It's like there's a lot of irresponsibilities going on, you know. And it's like, I can kind of see why a lot of people is not standing up to it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, what I was going to talk to you about a little bit, I'm just going to find it here. I got to get it in. Tennessee has become like the fifth state now on this geoengineering, not to get too far over in the weeds or whatever. But
right.
And so there's a bill out there, and I'm trying to see if I can get a representative. His name's Monty Fritz, to come on my show here in the next week or two and talk about it, because his bill intrigues me. And I was trying to find...
I tell you, another guy that's—I call him Sky Fauci, but his name is David Keith. And he's been on record on YouTube. He's like a—he was heading all that stuff back when they was talking about start doing that stuff, and talking about how many tons. And I've got videos on top of videos of that I can show you, but it's crazy, man, on that end of things, but. They have literally built 60-acre greenhouses in Tennessee and Kentucky because they knew this stuff was coming, you know? And it seems like...
Trying to find it here. Maybe this is it. Congrats. There's actually... Yes. All right. This is on the White House website. Congressionally mandated research plan, an initial research governance framework related to solar radiation modification. So this is actually on the website on the White House.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So I don't know what they're doing, if they're doing or whatever, but there's actually a division of our government. There's a division of our government.
If they're not doing it all the time, what good is it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can go out here on any given day, out there today, beautiful day, they're not doing it. But they'll just come up out of the blue and start Just, you know, I've got certain day. I've got a lot of video of that stuff saved up. But it's, they'll just swamp the skies. And then 2 weeks later, there's all kinds of mammals and sea creatures washing up on the beach dead. And they don't, they wonder why, you know. And at the same time, it's like when it does come in rains, man, I get into a million, and a lot of people around me will go into a state of fatigue. It's like you get disoriented, and I know I'm not the only one experiencing this stuff. And if you do a little research on the sulfur, like they're talking about that they put in that stuff, it makes a lot of sense why that and the sulfur and they put in the ground for growing.
Here's what it says on the website. It says the research plan was prepared in response to a requirement in the joint expletorial statement accompanying Division B of the Consolidated Appropriation Act of 2022, directing the Office of Science and Technology Policy with support from National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, to provide a research plan for solar and other rapid climate interventions.
Right.
So, little concerning there. Little concerning. Going to see if we can get Monty on here. The kicker is we don't know what they're doing, but this sort of gives this gives you a department, a division that actually could do something, which tells me if they could do something, there's a good chance they might be doing something.
And at least let the people know what's going on so we can take measures to defend ourselves
or something. If you're going to put something in there, I think you need to be having disclosure and telling me. So anyway,
David Keith is openly talking about how many millions of people it's going to kill. This is 10 years ago, okay? And it's sad, man. But anyway, I'll let you continue with your show, Jim.
Yeah, we'll get into this, hopefully. And that'll be an interesting show. So just hang tight, as they say. Hang tight.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Be good. See you.
Bye-bye.
Something that I did want to really bring up to today also, along with that, what's going on in Greensboro is, so Senator Chuck Schumer gives a speech on the Senate floor last week that called for the, and I got to make sure I say this, Netanyahu government, that's the Israeli government, to come to an end. It's time for a new regime to take its place. So now you have the highest-ranking Jewish elected official in the United States just did the Biden administration's dirty work, folks, if you don't see what's going on. So a wedge with Chuck Schumer leading the charge has been driven between the U.S. Jews and now the Israeli Jews. And this is an attempt to keep the Muslims in the Democratic Party because they're having problems there. So before it's over, or by the Democratic Convention, they will abandon Israel. The Biden administration will abandon Israel in their fight to get rid of Hamas. And it's all about politics and damage control. It doesn't have anything to do with what should be done. And yes, there's genocide going on in Hamas, and it's bad conditions. I still say before October 7th, maybe things weren't great, but this wasn't going on. This is what happens when you attack somebody in a sovereign nation and they reply for that attack in the swiftest way they know how. And this is what's happening. So, shame on Chuck Schumer for selling out his own people. Biden is also using, at the same time, their administration, the UN, to file worthless resolutions to make Israel look bad as far as putting out a resolution from the United States for the ceasefire just to get the other countries to vote. And most of the ones that are on the Security Council have ties to Muslim nations in it. And you even got China and Russia involved in this, and they're sitting there trying to decide which side they're playing on the game, who they supply this and that to. So it's very interesting, but it's more of a mudsling than it is worried about the actual things that go on in a mosque. This is saving face for Biden in case something goes on that he can make it on through the Democrat National Convention and get to the end and try to run for president. I'll be surprised that it happens. That's why I think the damage control, and he may end up being the sacrificial lamb at the convention to make this happen, but the process has already started. Now, this is Jeff McNeely, just looking from 30,000 feet, but this is what I see and why I see it. So if not, why does Chuck Schumer come out and basically say that Netanyahu's administration needs to be replaced? He thinks it's time for that. Right in the middle of a war, why would you do that? We're supposed to be their strongest ally. So this is kind of foretelling, folks. Very foretelling. A lot of issues, a lot of things. We're getting ready to go to our second part of our show here. So just hold tight. We got Addison McDowell coming on. But, you know, they always say in politics, nothing happens. It's planned. The plan's afoot, y'all. The plan is afoot. So stay tuned. Come on back for the second part of the show. Have Addison McDowell on here.
More Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Taking Care of Iredell continues. Here's your host, NC Representative Jeff McNeely on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
All right, back here with the second half of the show. We got our guest online. Let's see if we can bring him up. Joe, let him come. Hey, is this Addison?
Yes, sir.
Or should I say Congressman McDowell? Let me get the right terminology here.
Well, not yet.
Not yet, but close. You have nobody running against you in the fall. No Democrat signed up for the seat. So after the primary was over with and a few odds and ends, it looks like you're just waiting your time out here.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
All right. Well, you know, Addison, I've known you for a little while now, and we've actually sat in the duck blinds together, so that's how you really get to know somebody. When two people have a gun on each other, you know, you get to talk a whole lot about things. So anyway, tell us a little bit about who Addison McDowell is. Tell us family. Tell us, you know, a little bit about you so people out there can hear. He's not going to necessarily be our congressman, but he is going to be a close by congressman and a good friend and ally. So tell us a little bit about who Addison McDowell is.
Yeah, so I grew up the son of a preacher, and we grew up in Davidson County. And I have an older brother. I had a younger brother who we lost to fentanyl poisoning. I'm sure we'll get into that in a little bit. But I got two brothers, and we grew up in Davidson County. I played high school football at North Davidson, but went to college at Charlotte, and I met my wife there. So if my degree was worthless, at least I paid to get my wife.
But there you go.
You know, we've got a baby, 1 year old daughter. She was born on tax day, so she's almost a year old, and I look forward to taking a percentage of her birthday money and explaining what the Democrats do to her father.
Do that. And now you have a write off too. So there you go. You got another dependent.
That's right.
So there you go. So you got that. And far as work career, I know you worked in one of the, I think you worked in one of the congressional offices. Was it Ted Budd or who did you work for?
Yes, sir. So I spent some time in Congressman Richard
Hudson's
office for a year. And then I spent about 4 years with now Senator Ted Budd.
Yep. So you've been to Washington, you've seen it. Excuse me. You understand how the process works. So, you come back and you've been with Blue Cross Blue Shield doing lobby work. Is there anybody else or just them?
Yeah, spent a year with them. Yes, sir.
All right. We always remember about the time that they hired you, Addison, as when all of a sudden Dale Falwell come up and took the state health plan away from them. We all, you know, that it was what within about a week or so, and we're like, "Dadgum, Addison, what did you do?"
Yeah. Well, hey, you can't blame me. It wasn't my fault, but. That was right after me.
Well, let me ask you this. What made you want to run for Congress? You're still a young man, in your 30s, and just there. So, what made you decide to want to run for Congress? Because that's a big jump. Never been elected to anything that I know of. Have you?
No, sir.
Well, there you go. So,
yeah. So, well, you know, I started getting some calls about sometime around Halloween. I remember that. But I started getting calls asking me if I knew of anybody that wanted to run or if I was interested in it. And, you know, I initially said no, and primarily because my wife said no at first. But, you know, I looked at it and I thought, okay, you know, I think I'm qualified for this and I think I'd do a great job. But what really drove me to want to do it was my little brother, who I said, you know, we lost him to fentanyl poisoning. And that was something that, you know, if I could make a difference on that issue, which the southern border being wide open is kind of what I'm referencing. Like, if I can make a difference on that issue, I want to do it. And so that's kind of what led me to get into the race. The most. But I mean, you know, I love where I'm from and I love the people there and I love, the district and it's got a lot to offer. And I thought, you know, I know I can represent them well. And I think out of the crowd that's formed, I think I'm the best to do it. And so we jumped in.
Well, now, and let me ask you this too, a little bit. I know Mark Walker was like, come in second in the primary. Bo Hines was in that primary also, correct?
Yes, sir, he was.
All right. And you know, a lot of people don't understand this. I don't really like this provision. I kind of get it because I do know lines change and with congressional districts more so than with like House Representative and House Senate in North Carolina. The lines do move with the when we do the census. So, you had quite a crowded field. How many people were on the Republican side? 7, 8, 9?
There was 6 in my race.
Okay, 6. Maybe it's totally.
You know,
yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, 6, like, that's not a lot compared to you know, the 13. They've got 13. When Ted Budd first ran, they had 16.
Yeah.
You know, so I felt lucky that there was only 6.
Yeah. So, but you ended up being the top vote getter, correct?
Yes, sir.
So that's pretty good. And of course, the reason I brought up Bo Hines, Bo's ran in every district just about in the state, it feels like. And I don't think he's hardly 30 yet, but he's been around anyway. So he went shopping in that district because there wasn't an incumbent. And now I guess the incumbent was it Kathy Manning was the incumbent there?
Yes, sir. So, I mean, kind of. It was a mix of 3 congressional districts, but she was the incumbent.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was part of Dan Bishop's seat, part of Congresswoman Fox's seat, part of Manning's seat. But when they redrew it, she was the incumbent for that seat. And she elected not to run again.
Yeah, they felt like the lines were so crooked, and I really was surprised because I thought that, you know, the best way to prove that the lines weren't drawn right, that it was gerrymandered, is to run and lose. But I guess it was more gracious for them to just not run at all and try to bring that up in a court case later that it was so bad they knew not to run.
Sure.
But we all know that that's not true. We all know that,
sure,
that it's not. That's just how the game they're wanting to play to throw the whole thing out, and it's not going to get anywhere. And I think they realize that, but you know, that's the cry they're going to make. So, you know, so let's talk a little bit about the race. Let's talk about the Trump endorsement first, because that was huge. Sure. That was huge in my opinion for you in that district.
Absolutely. It definitely was.
And so tell us a little bit about how that came about. I know y'all made a trip down to Mar-a-Lago.
We did.
And so tell us a little bit about what all went on or whatever you can tell. I know a lot of things happen
sure.
You can't tell, but tell us what you can tell about getting because that was a big thing.
Sure. Well, and it was. And that was kind of a, you know, it was a long shot, I thought. But, you know, we got a meeting with them on the books and we went down there and, you know, I pitched Susie Wiles, his campaign manager. She was who was in the room first. I pitched her and she was all in. I was like, okay. So then Trump comes into the room and I didn't know if, you know, we would meet with him for 5 minutes or however long it would be. We wound up sitting with him for about an hour and 15 minutes.
Wow.
And yeah, it was, you know, I'm still tired from that meeting, but, you know, it was something. And we went kind of all over the map. And we talked, you know, a little bit about the race, and who was in the race at that point, and why that I thought I was the best one out of that group. And by the end, he agreed with me, on that assessment and decided that he was going to endorse me in the race. And so that came out the next day. But you know, the meeting went so long that, you know, I missed my flight to come back home, and there's not a ton of commercial air traffic, going to and from Palm Beach.
Yeah.
A lot of private planes. So, you know, I'm stuck there overnight trying to get home. And so he wound up doing it the next day at about 4 PM. So I had time to get home, but, it was pretty surreal. I knew my life was about to change.
Well, and you know, if I'm not mistaken, the last time that Bo ran, of course, it was over in the fourth district or fifth. I can't remember. It was on the eastern side of North Carolina. Trump endorsed him. And so this was kind of huge with Bo being in the race for you to get it, not him. Because you would think maybe that they would, he'd re-up that again. So I thought that was pretty impressive.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people thought that, and I think Bo probably thought that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we went in with a very detailed kind of pitch to the president on this is why we don't think that he can win. And it turns out we were right, because he came in fourth.
Yeah,
fourth place. But, you know, I don't know what a Trump endorsement would have done to make that differently, but we didn't think there was enough runway and enough time for him to, you know, get around. We just didn't think he could win, and we thought we could, and President Trump agreed with us.
Well, you know, like I said, when you're not from the district, well, then you got to figure out all the players. And he had already figured out the players in another district before that. So, you know, it's not easy. I believe in these times like this, when it even got a little bit of while to think about it, you still got to have a grassroots effort. And y'all being from there, know everybody, at least in Davidson County and probably a lot of the surrounding counties too. It was definitely an advantage for y'all being from the area. And I usually see whoever lives in the area more than likely has got a real good chance of winning unless money just comes into play.
Absolutely. Well, and that was the thing, Jeff, like money did come into play.
Yeah. Always does.
You know, and it did, but it wasn't us. We didn't have it.
Yeah.
You know, we spent less than the person that came in second, third, and fourth.
Wow. All right. Well, we got to take a hard break here. So just hold tight, Addison. We'll bring you back in.
Yes,
so just be with us, folks. Stay tuned. We're going to talk with Addison some more on this campaign.
Stay with us. We'll have more Taking Care of Iredell with NC Representative Jeff McNeely after these messages on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now back to more Taking Care of Iredell with your host, NC Representative Jeff McNeely on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
All right, back here with the last part of the show. We got future Congressman Addison McDowell on the line. Addison, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll get back a little. We was talking about the race, and we talked about the Trump endorsement. And I know when you get into the race, like I said, didn't have the money, didn't have maybe the name recognition, but some had a little bit, but never really ran before. Running against Mark Walker, who was a past congressman, so that was interesting. But Mark Walker had a lot of different things working against him, and definitely one of them was the Trump factor. Don't know how much you can talk about that or not, but Mark Walker was never going to get Trump's endorsement. That's what I believe.
Well, you know, all I know is that when we went to Mar-a-Lago, we pitched why we were the best candidate, and President Trump agreed with that. But you know, the Trump endorsement was amazing, and that was, if we were able to get that message out, we win, no question. But the problem was we didn't have a lot of runway, because this was a short primary.
Oh yeah, it comes quick in March.
Oh, yeah. And so it was a short, less than 3 months. And so we had, you know, I'd never made a fundraising call before. I had to start raising money. I don't come for money. So, you know, that was something that, Pat McCrory said this about me on his radio show. I thought it was interesting. He said, his dad is rich. That's why he got the Trump endorsement. Like, my dad's a preacher. What are you talking about? But he's rich in the spirit, I guess.
There you go. Rich in blessings.
We didn't have any money. And so it was the grassroots work that we did where we just hustled. We outworked everybody. You know, we knocked on like over 5,000 doors on election day. We had 100 people at different precincts passing out stuff. And, you know, I think that that was, at the end of the day, we worked until the very last second, and that's why we got first on election day.
Well, I was impressed. And folks, Addison actually come over to Idle County to Statesville, and there was a little small fundraiser we had here for him. That nothing huge. I wish we could have done more, but, you know, not really our district. But, hey, just like always, it takes everybody to move the ball. One person can't pick it up and run. It takes everybody to move the ball. So when there's something that needs to be done for North Carolina or for Idle County even, here's somebody I know that I can pick up the phone and give a call to. You know, I really wanted my roommate, sure, Gray Mills, to pull it off in our district. Didn't happen. Talked with Pat Harrigan over the weekend at the county convention, and I got no problems with Pat. I think Pat's going to do a fine job. I seem like a good man. I just don't, you know, necessarily have the ability to pick up the phone and talk to him like I would Gray Mills. And so I do have that with you, and so I appreciate that. Sure. And do not delete my number or block it. That's all I ask. But anyway, now, you know, it was close enough where there could have been a runoff. What made you think, or wonder what got in Walker's head, just wasn't willing to put up the fight? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And I think that, you know, he apparently was offered something by President Trump to come work for his campaign, and that's great. But, you know, we were ready to go, and we immediately – you know, my poor wife, she didn't want two more months of this, but neither did I. But, you know, we were ready to go. We started working the very next morning on, okay, we got to, you know, we know because of how financial disclosures work, we know everyone that has donated to him. And so we just started calling those people and picking them off. And you know, we just did everything we could so that he wouldn't even want to try. And you know, as it turns out, you know, President Trump and him are going to work together on his campaign, and that's great. But we're focused on the future now, and we want to unify the party, and we want to get, you know, as many Republicans elected as we can. Like, look, I still have to live here, even though I'm going to go work in Washington. I still have to live in North Carolina.
Oh yeah.
And I want to keep the supermajority. So, you know, for us now, because I don't have a general election opponent, you know, we're going to work on getting as many Republicans elected as we can.
Well, I tell you what, keep in contact with us. We'll put you at a poll working somewhere someday. So just trust us. We will.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, we talked a little bit here. We got about, about 6 minutes or so to go. You're on your way, going to be in Washington. It's just a matter of time. You talked about fentanyl. What committees are you looking at, Addison? What are you thinking? What are you thinking you'd like to do? Where's your strong suits?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I worked for a member for 3 years that was on the Financial Services Committee. Yeah. And North Carolina has historically had members representing them on that committee, you know, and with Chairman McHenry retiring at the end of Congress and Wiley Nickel doing whatever Wiley Nickel is going to do next. You know, we're not going to have anybody on that committee. And North Carolina is a financial services hub, whether it be the fintech side or the banking side or the cryptocurrency side. I mean, we need representation on that committee. And having worked for a member that was on that committee, I think it'd be a good fit.
Okay.
But, you know, we didn't give a lot of thought to what happens after we win.
That's right.
Everything we did was, how do we win?
One day at a time.
And let's get there. Yeah. And so, you know, we're looking at that now. And so as far as committees go, you know, I'm open. But I think North Carolina does need representation on the Financial Services Committee. But, you know, in terms of like what we want to do, I mean, securing the border is the number one priority for everyone that we talk to. And there wasn't really a close second. And so, you know, I just want to get up there and make a difference on that issue, first and foremost. But, you know, really, I just want to listen to what the people from the 6th District want.
Well, and I got to feel like that, you know, they always say there's just a pipeline from the southern border to North Carolina in general. They seem like somehow or another they cross that border within 48 hours. They're somewhere in our state, I almost feel like. Now, I know they go to other states and they do other things, but we're one of the popular destination places. And one of the reasons is we're fairly easy to get a driver's license here. And I'm trying to kind of figure out a way to shut that down somewhat to make it a little more difficult, at least be have papers. You can't be illegal and get it. I know they're sharing each other's papers and IDs and different things, and it's on and on and on. We've got to be able to do a better job, and it may be one of those things where they have to show they've been here X amount of months with some kind of a older power bills. I don't know. That's my job. I got to work on that. Your job, build a wall, build something, enforce something, or do something. It's chaos. Are you thinking about trying to take a trip down there and just see for yourself what all's going on? I don't know if you really need to. You can pretty much tell from here even how bad it is, but just curious.
Yeah. Well, I've been down there before.
Okay.
And it was a long time ago, but you can still see it then. But, I mean, something that Sheriff Campbell and I, we go way back, something that he told me before everyone else was saying it, was, look, every county in North Carolina is now a border county.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we got an open border. We need to secure the border. We also have to think about all the people that are already here.
Yeah.
And given the law enforcement in my district and in this state, what they need to combat the people that are already here that don't need to be here.
And, you know, I talked earlier in the show, don't know if you were listening or not, probably not, but, you know, over there in Greensboro, which may end up being part of your district, you got anything in Guilford?
I do. What you're talking about, I think, is just outside.
Okay. Didn't know, but it's on everybody's radar. Hudson's involved, sure. Tillis, Bud, all of them, our whole delegation. I mean, you know, here we are. We basically got a sanctuary situation in North Carolina, the one that we know about. How many we don't know about scares me, because they're getting help and they're here. I mean, I see all kind of different things going on, and everybody keeps saying, well, y'all were funding them. I said, well, right now I can guarantee you we ain't funding nothing from the state's perspective. This is all federal, and it's all through the executive branch. It's not even being appropriated. It's just coming.
Yeah.
It's like somebody's got an open checkbook and can write any number they want, and they are. So, you know, all right, the fentanyl situation. We got about 2 minutes to talk about it real quick, and I know that hits home to you. You know, maybe Homeland Security is a different committee that you may want to look at. I don't know. You tell us. Ideas do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're seeing ideas that are great that are getting shut down by the Democrats and by Joe Biden. And it's, you know, like Senator Budd, one of the things that he was pushing, that, you know, as they were passing this giant budget or whatever, was an amendment that he wanted that would say, if you are an illegal immigrant that commits a certain crime, you immediately get deported. And the Democrats said, absolutely not. And I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Because that is common sense.
You know, and the bad thing, too, is we got to figure out a way, once we deport them, to not let them get back in here 2 weeks later. It seems like it's just a merry-go-round down there. So, once again, got to figure out some way. I don't know how. It's a long border. It's a big border. But, hey, you know, we started a wall and then started selling the pieces off fast as we can before we could ever put it on. So, we're down here. We got about 30 seconds left. Anything you want to say the last little bit, Addison?
Well, if we want to secure the border, it starts with getting President Trump elected in November.
Amen.
And defeating Joe Biden. So, that, you know, I would encourage people to get out and vote. You've seen what life under President Trump looks like and what life under Joe Biden looks like. And I think life under President Trump was much better, much safer, and much cheaper. And so let's get out and elect him in November.
All right. Well, Addison, congratulations again. Glad to have you on the show. Good luck. If I can help you anyway, let me know, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You got it. Thank you. Right. Yep. Appreciate it.
Bye. All right, folks. Let's go ahead and we'll say our blessing here, our prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for all you do. Lord, we pray that we do get this country turned around and we secure our borders and we protect our people and we watch over them. And dear Lord, just give us wisdom and knowledge. Be with us in all we do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, folks, take care. See ya.
You've been listening to North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely. Join Jeff again next Monday morning at 11:05 for Taking Care of Iredell on News Talk WSIC.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.